All right, let's go back to Detroit and bring in Andy Baggerly, CSN Bags, and a great analyst, and he's covered the Giants here all year long and wrote the book after 2010, The Band of Misfits. Andy Baggerly, how are you?
I'm good, Marty. How you doing?
Very well, and first of all, I always like to get the weather report from you, and of course, last night, the weather really didn't seem to be an issue. What's it like today?
No, I don't think so. It's a little more cloudy today. It might be a little chillier. It was 47 degrees at first pitch. That didn't bother Ryan Vogel, so he's out there in his short sleeves. And this is a guy who, you know, as I wrote in one of my stories yesterday, he actually complained that he only was able to shovel his driveway out once last winter in Pennsylvania. He loves it. It's therapy for him. So the cold weather didn't bother him at all. I'm guessing it's not going to be much of a factor for Matt Cain either tonight. It's something that everyone has to deal with. It's a little out of the ordinary. But I think it's a little overblown overall. I don't think the cold is really going to be a big deal.
Miguel Cabrera last night kind of left the clubhouse afterwards, didn't talk to the press. That wasn't cool for the MVP.
Yeah, a little bit interesting. He didn't feel like answering any questions. I wasn't on that side of things. I was in the Giants clubhouse talking to Gregor Blanco and others, but our Casey Pratt was over on that side. And yeah, that's what he told me, that he just sort of ducked out. You are obligated to talk to the media. You're not necessarily obligated to say everything that's on your mind, but a little disappointing that a guy with his stature, especially after that big at bat with the bases loaded, would just decide not to talk. But, you know, it's a free country, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't look good. And I know Albert Pujols did that and came back and hit three homers the next day. So I don't know. Maybe that's something Cabrera's trying to channel or something. But, Andy, what's the mood around the ball club? And people out here at the Public House, you know, we're very enthusiastic here in San Francisco, hoping that they can get it done. But it's Scherzer today against Matt Cain. This is not a simple game. And Verlander sort of lurks tomorrow. So what's the mood around the club?
Oh, yeah, they're not taking anything for granted. They know Scherzer is a guy who's struck out 18 and 11 postseason innings. If you look at what he's done since June, it's like 11 and sort of a 2-something ERA over his last 19 starts. He's been just as good as Verlander. And, he's probably as nasty as Verlander in terms of missing bats. So the Giants know they've got their work cut out for them. Like you mentioned, if the Tigers can just get it to tomorrow, sort of pick up what the Giants' mantra was in the first two series, then they know later their mantra becomes win behind the race and take this series to San Francisco. And then, of course, it's a lot less daunting to think about winning two games. So, you know, I think the Giants are going to stick with this approach that's worked for them so far, just to concentrate on winning every pitch, winning every inning, winning every at-bat. That's what Marco Scudero has got them in the mindset of thinking. And I think they're going to stay with that today. It's served them very well so far.
Andy, I know Bruce Bochy doesn't like to change his lineup ever, really. He did choose Hector Sanchez as a DH yesterday. Sanchez hit in Hector Sanchez in the eighth spot yesterday. Did not do much offensively. Is there a chance you see a different DH today? And we've lost Andy. All right. Raph is back there. This is part of live radio. Andy on his way to the ballpark. Raph, let's try to get Andy back on the phone, and we will find out. But what do you think, DH today? Hector Sanchez today, Aubrey Huff. How about Aubrey Huff? No. Aubrey Huff today. Terrio, you like Terrio? Arias, how about Arias as a possibility? But we'll have to see what happens there as we try to get Andy Baggerly back on here. All right, Andy, you're back. You're back. Okay, thank you. And I know are you on your way to the park?
No, I'm just about to leave, but I'm looking at my hotel room, and I'm literally got about maybe 10 yards of the United States here before I hit the Detroit River, and there's Canada on the other side. So I think the Canadian cell phone signal keeps knocking out my American cell phone signal.
All right. That's what's happening here. Well, I was asking about the DH. Sanchez didn't do very well last night. Any chance we'll see a different DH today?
Yeah, it's Ryan Terrio. He's the DH today. The Giants lineup just came out. Ryan Terrio is the DH. It's an interesting call because Scherzer held righties to a 201 average versus 292 for lefties. But Hector really, you know, looked like he was not seeing the ball well at all. Took a couple called strikeouts, and now he's going to be facing a guy who's got even tougher stuff. So I think Bochy's just reacting to what he saw from Sanchez yesterday. And he likes Terrio as a contact guy, as somebody who can put the ball in play, make things happen. So, not really a surprise to see him change it up a little bit.
Where is Terrio hitting in the lineup?
Let me tell you here in a second.
Because they had him slotted. They had the DH slotted yesterday in between Blanco and Crawford in that eighth
spot. Let me give you the whole thing here. Pagan leading off in center field. Marco Scuro, second baseman, batting second. Pablo Sandoval at third base, batting third. Buster Posey doing the catch-up, catching and cleanup hitting. Hunter Pence in right field. Brandon Belt at first base. Gregor Blanco in left field. Okay. Terrio is the DH, batting eighth. Brandon Crawford, who had another RBI for the Giants. You just keep getting RBIs from that number nine spot. Is the shortstop, and Matt Cain is the pitcher, not batting.
All right, great. Andy Baggerly giving us the exclusive here as we get the lineup for the Giants today. Matt Cain has not been great in the postseason, but he hasn't let it get away and has done his job. And he has a chance to do something, Andy. I know you've written about it. He won the division series clinching game, the Cardinals series. He won the pennant, and he's got a shot to win the World Series for the ball club today.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, he has given up four home runs in his first three playoff starts, and this is a Tigers team that can take you deep. So his challenge is going to be to keep the ball in the ballpark. I mean, Cabrera and Fielder are 3-for-17 with no extra base hits. They got as many RBIs combined in this series as Barry Zito does. So the Giants want to keep it that way, definitely. And Cain's going to have to step carefully around those guys because he's been a little susceptible to the long ball. And you look up and, you know, he's made four postseason starts. Well, he only made three postseason starts in 2010, and he's sitting at about 240 innings for the season. So the Giants are very, very cognizant of the fact that he's got a lot of pitches logged on his arm this year, and that definitely has affected his stuff, even against the Cardinals, the NLCS. His fastball was up quite a bit, and that's why you see Vogelsong as the number three lined up for a Game 7, and this would be Cain's only start in this World Series. And obviously, everyone would love for it just to end right here with Cain on the mound in Game 4.
Andy, people ask me these questions all the time, and I'm going to throw it to you as well. The future for Tim Lincecum, is there a possibility that he could end up being in the bullpen here for the Giants next year?
Well, he was asked the question point blank, as was Bruce Bochy. They say the plan is definitely for Lincecum to be a starting pitcher next year. It's going to be hard, I think, for him to buy into being a relief pitcher when he's in his last year of his contract coming up on free agency. We all know what starters make versus what relievers make. And, you know, I think that it's the best move for his career to start. Really hard to get a guy to buy into a role like that from day one of spring training. So, you know, I think that it's going to be a sort of fact-finding off season for him, trying to find the right conditioning program to get his legs in good shape. And the Giants know he's going to have to be more pitch efficient. And even though his strikeout rate was pretty high, he's not going to be in a position where he can fish for strikeouts all the time now that he's not throwing 94, 95 miles an hour. So it's up to him to make an adjustment. And, you know, I think the Giants are going to give him every opportunity to start. But, I mean, there's just no understating what an impact he's had out of the bullpen. It's just been a sight to behold.
Yeah, amazing. I agree with your analysis, by the way. All right, last thought for you. The first three games, and people, we had fun with this on the show last night. Who's the MVP for this ball club right now in the World Series?
Boy, well, I guess Pablo Sandoval set the tone with those three home runs. He's got 13 RBIs in the postseason overall. Nobody else has more than eight in all of Major League Baseball in the postseason. So I think you'd have to look at Pablo. He's played really good defense, too. Blanco sure had one whale of a game yesterday. That's why I had so much fun writing about Blanco and Vogelsong being two non-roster free agent guys, minor league invitees, you know, basically winning a World Series game. It's pretty amazing how that's happened. But I think you'd probably go with Pablo. He's been the guy who's been hitting the ball hard all postseason long, and obviously his three-homer game got him off on the right foot in Game 1.
All right, Andy, thank you so much as always. And Andy Baggerly, folks, from Detroit. Well, Andy, thank you so much. Have a good day today, and we'll follow you on Twitter, CSN Bags.
All right, Marty. Thanks for the time.
Oh, absolutely. Very generous of Andy. All right.